So shout out to my co-host Cam. He's not here with me for this pod, but he hit a monster two-teamer with the Bolts and the Warriors money line. The Bolts scrape by and defend their home ice while the Warriors take back control of the series. I'm recording this during the fourth quarter of this NBA Finals game. As always, I am Jay. This is Lock It or Leave It. We'll be diving into Game 2 right after this Neon Samurai. Can't wait. Okay, so we are here, start of the fourth quarter, Warriors Celtics. Jordan Poole just hit a damn near 35-footer to end the third quarter, put him up 30. So I thought it'd be a good enough time to hop on here and just kind of discuss what we're seeing, these instant reactions off of game two. Like I just said, this is me hopping on here. The game's still going on. I think there's 7 minutes left in the fourth, but Celtics are down 30. I think I have the right to start discussing this game. So let's go quarter by quarter, try to break down what we saw, and see what we can deduce and try to pick out for game three back in Boston. So we're going to start off with the first quarter, and wow, man, just it's been going on for the whole game. And I know he's a podcast, and I know that he likes to have his own player-driven social media and player-driven sports talk, but Draymond, man, It's getting ridiculous, and I actually applaud Jeff Van Gundy. I hope that there is I gotta look into this, but I hope that there is definitely a spot for announcers to also be inducted into the Hall of Fame, because if we don't get a Mike Breen induction into the Hall of Fame, something's going wrong. But Jeff Van Gundy points some great stuff out throughout the game, and it's all about Draymond. And Draymond, I love him for the defense and everything, but anemic on offense, and also he's giving you these stupid calls, having to make the ref make a bang-bang call that honestly comes back to bite him in the ass, usually later down in the game. And I'm pointing out the specific player early on with Marcus Smart, no, with Grant Williams, where he kind of just runs over Grant, and he gets the call. Grant gets the call, not Draymond. And Jeff Van Gundy's got to admit it, too. He said, that is not a foul on Grant Williams. But keep going on, man. The foul discrepancy in the first quarter was getting a little ridiculous. Like I told you before, I don't have a leg in this race. I don't root for the Celtics. I don't root for the Warriors. I root for good basketball. And the foul discrepancy really disappointed me in the first quarter. We're seeing these replays where Jaylen Brown isn't touching Gary Payton at all. All these fouls, these tic-tac fouls, it's the NBA Finals. Keep your whistles in your pocket, man. Something has to be done about that. But I don't want to stay too long on that. Let's get to the actual game, man. And going on for the whole game, these Boston turnovers, these careless turnovers, when they have numbers, they're just rushing with the ball. The shot clock's at 17 seconds left. Why are you trying to force it? Why are you trying to force it? Take your time, exploit matchups, call pick and rolls, try to get the worst defender on the Warriors to have to make defensive decisions over and over again. First quarter, absolute slop fest. The second was two, but I'll end the first quarter on this, man. The take foul era, another great, great segment, or another great observation by Jeff Van Gundy. These take fouls by superstars or these NBA franchise players are getting ridiculous. Jason Tatum, if your team turns it over, do not have a take foul on Stephen Curry in the first quarter. That foul will come back most times to bite you in the butt, and your team consequently won't have you out on the court because you chose to waste one of your fouls on a foul that, to be frank, didn't need to be done, and it wouldn't have stopped the Warriors from scoring on that play either way. Let's move to the second quarter. Jordan Poole. I saw a podcast with Damian Lillard and Colin Cowherd, where Damian Lillard said Jordan Poole talks enormous, copious amounts of shit. And hey, I would too if I was in his role. But it seems like Jordan Poole's the fringe guy who just hops into the lineup, sees the other two light skins, and now He's just trying to play off of that. And at some point, Boston was like, you know what? None of this. He's getting blocked over and over again, going to the rim, trying to finish with one hand, with either hand. It's not working. Derrick White's getting there. Robert Williams is getting there. Al Horford's getting there. These layups aren't going in for him. And I know he's got a little resurgence later on in the second half, but I think it's a little bit refreshing, to be honest, how you're seeing these young players who get put in these roles early on, the egos going, the egos spiking, and it's like, no. You're not getting those calls anymore, man. You're not getting those calls. But Jordan Poole, great player, but he's definitely up and down. So I wonder how he'll fare in Boston, because I do not think he will be given a warm welcome, especially with that, which what I thought was definitely a technical foul on him for trying to trip Derrick White. So Jordan Poole, just all around, man. He's a controversial player to try and root for also. But then again, like I said in the first quarter, the careless swings. Jason Tatum, there's 14 seconds on the shot clock. There's no reason to do a step back 3-pointer that's contested when Klay Thompson's guarding you, or Jaylen Brown taking turnaround fadeaways. That's the thing about Jaylen Brown too, but he's a great offensive player. Great offensive player. But there comes to a point where if he gets hot early, then he starts getting very ambitious with the ball, starts shooting shots that doesn't need to be taken, that don't need to be taken, when you can reset the ball, try to get a better look. But man, you need to attack, JB. Some of these possessions, I'm seeing Steph's guarding you. I'm seeing Poole's guarding you. We're seeing Klay, who's still, you can see he's not 100% coming off that injury, or maybe he's just not the same Klay anymore. Attack, attack, attack. Even if you don't get the basket, try and get their stars in foul trouble. Try to get to the free throw line. Try to slow the game down and not let the Warriors get in transition, because that's where they love to do most of their work. And then staying on JB, but mostly about Draymond. Draymond, at this point, I can't stand when he always wants to talk about how he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt from the refs. Draymond, you do this to yourself. You got a stupid technical early on that you started, that you were the one who ignited that fire. You were the catalyst of that. And then what happens? The Dray and JB scuffle. And if you look at the replay, Draymond does give JB a push in the back and says, "Don't do that." That's a technical foul. I don't care how you push it, that's a technical foul. It's the NBA Finals. I get it. That's a technical foul. And I'm glad these announcers really talked about it, because if it's anybody else, it's a tech. But the refs know. Dray might hop on the pod later on and just start cursing all of them out. They're saying, you know what? He has won already. Let's keep the whistle in our pocket. I get it. It's the NBA Finals. The rule is the rule. That's a technical foul. But going off of that, man, I'm not gonna keep talking about the Warriors and Draymond and everything, because the Warriors did win this game. The Boston had 11 turnovers in the first half to Golden State's 5, and I think you could really tell off of that alone. But the thing is, it goes both ways, because when you're looking at the turnover discrepancy, Boston had 15 going into 15 turnovers with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, 7 for Golden State. But the Celtics also scored 26 points off of Golden State's turnovers, while the Warriors only scored 7. So you can kind of see the discrepancy there. And the Warriors in the third quarter more than doubled them in points in the paint. So the Warriors were being more aggressive. They were trying to attack the rim more, while the Celtics were kind of settling for shots, not taking good ones, turning the ball over in terrible moments where Jason Tatum turns it over, Steph gets the ball back, he rips a three. That's a 5-point swing, just like that. So things like that really irk me, just as a fan of watching the game, thinking, Ime, Steve, call a timeout and tell your team, slow down, take a breath, take a deep breath, inhale, and let's try to go out there and get some good possessions, some sound and high and good efficient or high efficient possessions, high efficient shots. Going to the third quarter, I'm not gonna talk about the fourth because it's a 30-point game already, but third quarter. Celtics, once again, you're rushing shots. Get to your spot, Jaylen. And then, like I said earlier, it's not just the Celtics throwing the game away. It's the Warriors doing the little things. It's Andrew Wiggins crashing the glass 2 times, 3 times, 4 times to get his team an extra bucket, an extra possession. Draymond Green. I'm going back to this once again, man. These bricks, man, I love you, Draymond, like I said, but man, that one brick from three you had sounded like Vietnam, sounded like the Cold War. You can tell that Draymond is so hampered offensively that when he went to the free throw line and he made the first free throw, the crowd was going crazy. You're going crazy off of a Draymond made free throw. Wow. Wow. But like I said, Warriors, great defense. The Celtics had some sloppy turnovers, but active hands by the Warriors, always making sure they're getting their hands in the passing lanes, kind of being disruptive. Whenever JB, Smart, Tatum are going into the lane, they're all putting their hands up and to the side, trying to eliminate the kicks to the corner threes or the lob to Robert Williams, taking those plays away and forcing the Celtics to have to make a contested shot over multiple defenders. So I like that the Warriors did that. And then, well, I'll end on this before we wrap up. I want to make this real quick. Stephen Curry is one of those players, and I'm not going to say he's a front runner because he's an amazing player. He may be top 10 right now. He's not for me, but he definitely could be. Something about Steph Curry threes when you're up. Not when you're down, but when you're up. When you're up 8, when you're up 10, when you're up 12, and you're the Warriors, and Stephen Curry hits a three, it feels like a 5-point play. It does not feel like 3 points. It feels like a 5-point play here. The crowd's into it, demoralizing. The shimmy comes out. And then what does he do? Back to back, rips another one. Now the crowd's going berserk. Steph's feeling it. He's starting to feel himself. The Warriors are feeling their groove. Dre starts to talk. Klay starts to feel himself. The defense gets that much better. And then what also happens? When those Steph threes start going in, it also means that the role players threes start going in. And that's when we're seeing Jordan Poole start to resurrect in the second half. Because once they're up, oh, all the brakes are off. Now they're shooting. Now they're shooting with confidence. They're talking a little shit, getting petty. And that's what they love to do. So those Jordan Poole threes were absolutely killer. But as a recap for the game, man, I think Boston, they threw this game away. They're up 12 points in the first quarter. There's so many possessions they had where they could have extended the lead to 15, could have extended the lead to 16. And they're turning the ball over, and these swings are just absolutely brutal. Boston did their job. They stole a game in Golden State. Now what do? You're going back to Boston. You need to clean up these turnovers, clean up the sloppiness, get back to your roots, get back to defense, get back to sharing the ball. No hero ball, no early shot clock shots that make no sense. Why are you shooting these shots? Go back to Boston. Let's see how they fare. I'm excited to see how the Warriors go into Boston game three. I know they'll be riled up. They'll be well prepared. They have a great coach in Steve Kerr, but so are the Celtics. Man, right now, 1-1. Before the series started, Golden State was minus 155, Celtics were plus 135. After game one, the line drastically switched, went from Celtics to now from plus 135 to minus 175. The Warriors were plus 135 now. I'm interested to see what the line is for game three. If I could take a guess, Warriors are up 20 some. I'm gonna go with Warriors minus 120. Celtics plus 130, 130. I think that's the line going into game three. I can't wait. I'm trying to do these instant reactions right after the games, keep them short. But yeah, I can't wait. What a series so far. Boston's crowd will be just as rowdy, if not much more rowdy than the San Francisco and the Bay. So cannot wait, man. Great basketball being played. I just hope that we can get some of these possessions cleaned up. Not as sloppy next time. I know that's also attributed to good defense, but lastly, these refs, clean it up a little bit. This is the finals. Call the game how it should be called, and I think the fans should have no complaints with the product that they're seeing. With that being said, can't wait for game three, man. Wow, let's go. It's the NBA Finals. Peace.